In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
And this is Mike.
And this is an interesting episode that we're doing, bit that we're doing, whatever, because we had planned, we had told you all that we had planned to start doing our recordings on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Hence the last podcast where we did the St. Patrick's Day drunk episode.
Oh, God. I still kind of regret what happened during that conversation. Like, there's not real regret. Don't get me wrong.
I regret nothing.
I bet you do.
But that's...
God, that was just completely out of... That just went completely haywire. We expected that, though.
Well, that was the entire premise of it, which is, again, why I wasn't too worried about it. The only thing I can say, having had... just for people to know, Mike sent me a few specific clips to listen to before he put that one out, and within the specific clips I'm like, okay, even in my, for the first one he sent me, I'm like, even in my drunk state I only gave up so much information. I still did not give up too much information. I did think that did that part actually stay on the podcast? The Russian spy part, did that part, whole part stay on the podcast, or did you remove that part?
No, I didn't remove that part. I kept that there.
Which I thought, even in my drunk state, to make a topical political joke like that, was still genius. I was at least cognizant enough to make that. And again, still not give away any real information, leave everything as vague as possible. And listening back to the other part that he sent me was the part near the end where I had a story I needed to tell. And as I'm listening to that, my wife is listening. What?
I'm sorry. I'm recapping it in my own head. Just
recapping the story.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Just you're completely interrupting what I was talking about. I have a story. I was tell a story.
Yes. Yeah. You were on a tangent. And I was like, nope. I'm telling the story.
I am right just here, right now. Grabbing the wheel right now, and we're going this direction.
As I'm listening to that, I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, that's about the most belligerent James ever gets when he's drinking. And that's that he does. Drinking is one of those things, like so many other things, that it brings out some of the true personality traits. It's like moments of chaos, moments where things have basically all gone to hell. That's when you kind of see the true personalities of people, and you see whether there's somebody that's going to be helping other people, whether they're just going to be thinking for themselves, whether they are truly a greedy person. You know, you see this, you see that, you see their true nature come out. This is, you know, depicted everywhere. Sun Tzu,
right,
has, you know, things in the Art of War about that, and all of his writings about when you're in those moments, you see who the true person really is. And that's like the most really aggressive or combative that I get when I'm drinking. Probably I get the majority of the time is I just take over conversations. And anybody that listens to this or anybody that knows me can kind of, they're like, yeah, you do. You always take over conversations.
I wasn't going to feed that, but be like, dude, you take over conversations all the time. That's like what you do here.
I do. And I try to be more aware of it when I'm not inebriated. I really actually do, contrary to what it may seem, I try not to take over as many conversations as I do. Honestly, if I didn't have at least that filter in, the only voice I would probably ever hear is my own, because I would say my point and then say your point, because I already know what your point's going to be, and then say the other person's point, because I pretty well already know what their point is going to be, and just have the conversation basically with myself, which I do whenever I'm not around anybody else. I just have large conversations with myself and argue multiple viewpoints. Occasionally I will ask for input when I can't get, and when I ask somebody else for input about something, it's because I can't get my brain to think of any other points of view. And I've already argued through and talked through all the points of view that I can think of. And I'm like, please give me a different point of view, because I don't feel satisfied with what my brain has come to yet. I need another point of view. Because I'll admit I have my limitations just like everybody else does. But it is something I do try to contain and work with on a daily basis. When I am drunk, I am not able to contain that. And so that's, again, probably the most aggressive I get when I'm drunk is I take over the conversation completely. Without even, you can't even get me to not take it over. I'm taking it over.
Yeah, so that's fair.
I hear that part and I'm like, yep, that's about right. I'm going to tell my story and I'm not going to listen for anybody to say I can't tell my story. And the only part that's a story I do tell to people that are, you know, within inner circle, people will know the names of the people if you're in the inner circle and maybe know the different people that were players in the situation. And I listened to that. I didn't say anybody's name. Did not say anybody's name.
Good.
So I was very proud of myself for that.
Yes.
The only thing that I found amusing was me continuing to refer to the one person as the person that could be your older brother.
Yeah.
And just doing that over and over and over again. And I'm like, why did you do it that way? But all right, whatever.
I didn't want to stop you. It was too funny.
Oh, it was gold. It was fantastic. Yeah. I'm listening to it. I'm like, if I planned that, that would be hilarious. Like this is totally if I ever get an acting job where I have to play drunk, I am listening to this version of myself and doing what I did in that.
Yes. Because I love it.
It's perfect. I couldn't have acted it better than what happened there. Me telling that story. And again, it's a story I've told many, many times. I'm not necessarily, depending on who I'm telling it to, I will be a little more careful about exactly what language. I will use different language for the particular
situations.
For the punchline, I use different language, and then I explain that that was not the real language that was used. They use the terms that are not appropriate to use within mixed company, and people get it, but at least it's a little cleaner.
Right.
But yeah, it's you have heard that story before, that podcast, right?
I believe I have. Oh God, it was years ago.
Yeah, that is a very important story for me because it did teach me a lesson, like I talked about in the podcast. It taught me a very good lesson, but it was a fun little experiment to hear me tell it that way.
Yeah.
Instead of in a way where I was really fully understanding. I knew I had done it. After we did the podcast, I remembered as much as I usually do of what we say in a podcast. So I knew that everything basically that had happened the same as any other time. Right. I will say for reporting, that was more alcohol in 2 hours than I should have had in 2 hours. So I'd spaced that out over a larger period of time. Had water breaks, had food to eat, but I was on. I was with a specific mission.
You had a purpose.
There was a purpose. And I normally, I can say I never, it's not even normally, I never drink like that unless there is a specific purpose. And it's not just the purpose of, ooh, let's get drunk. It's, hey, a buddy needs you to be his friend for the night,
right,
or we're doing a drunk podcast, or literally those are like the last two times that I've really gotten this level of drunk in the last, I'm going to say 15 years. So And before that, the only other time I got that level of drunk was the first time I ever really got drunk.
Right.
And I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I learned my lesson, and it only happened again when I chose for it to happen. But I will say it was bad enough for anybody that listened and thought, man, he's pretty far gone. I made it downstairs. I was able to eat a bunch of saltine crackers and drink a Gatorade. And I was okay until I laid down to go to bed. And then the saltine crackers and the Gatorade said, nope, we're not staying.
Luckily,
I was prepared for that because I could feel my head. My head was saying, for some reason, you are on a world that is tilting from side to side. So I knew, okay, I'm okay right now, but I'm pretty sure when I lay down, it's not going to be good. So I asked for the wife to bring me a bucket or a bowl. She did. And I laid down, and it was within a minute of laying down, the contents of my stomach said, no, we're not staying here. This is a harsh environment.
Oh my
we're
goodness.
Not okay. And I can say very, very artfully, I got everything in the bowl. No spill, no mess.
Oh, good, 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 good.
All in the bowl. The wife's like, you want me to take care of that? I'm like, could you? I don't know if I can get up. Okay, I'll take care of that for you. And I went to, that's all that came out.
Okay.
I was able to go to sleep, not very good sleep because I never sleep good when I've had really any alcohol, but especially when I'm drunk.
I was going to say most people don't actually think they might, but they definitely do not.
Yeah. And I was able to get up and go to work the next day.
Wow.
I felt like garbage all through work, but I was there. I even got asked, why you look horrible. I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember I said I was going to do my podcast last night drinking? Yeah. Well, I did.
Yep.
And I think I had one glass too many last night. Just if I had stopped one glass earlier, I think I would have been fine. I had one glass too many. I did not get to eat for breakfast the next morning. My corned beef hash. I had to wait until the weekend to do that.
Because
my stomach was like, no, I had oatmeal and toast.
You got to go with something like mild and basic, just something to kind of.
If I'd had the time, I would have made myself like biscuits and gravy or something on the biscuits and gravy.
Oh, dude, okay.
Oh, no, that works. That works. The greasy food typically works. I just didn't feel like standing for the amount of time because I had to get up to go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning.
You just revealed an itch now. You just mentioned biscuits and gravy. We're recording this on Saturday morning. Before the.
Did you have biscuits and gravy?
No, I didn't, but now I really want them.
Isn't it funny that every time I talk about food on here, the food?
I'm curious how many people we actually do that to. Like when you mention food and people are like, damn, I could really go for, you know, whatever you mentioned, like biscuits and gravy. Now we're talking about biscuits and gravy.
The thing is, that's what's in my brain all the time is all the different foods. And so I'm always like, I'd go for that. I'd go for that. When we're out doing something, the wife's like, you want to get something to eat? I'm like, always? I've told you already that I have a mental issue where I can eat a full meal, get into a car, and I'm hungry. And I know that I'm not actually hungry. This is a learned response that I have. This is all Pavlovian and shit. I get into a car, I'm automatically thinking, I need to go get something to eat. And I have to fight myself and say, no, you don't, stupid. You just had food. You don't need to eat. You just think you need to eat. And so I continually fight it. So even when we're like 4 or 5 hours into a shopping trip and I'm starting at that point, I am starting to get a little bit hungry. And the wife's like, you want to get something to eat? I'm like, yeah. Where do you want to get food? I don't care. I just want food.
Yeah.
Just pick a place. Well, I mean, I don't want to pick the place. Yes. You please pick the place. You want to go to this place? Yeah. You want to go to Taco Bell? Sure. Fine. You don't like going to Taco Bell. I don't care right now.
Yep. Need food. Need food now.
Give me the tacos. Give me the tacos. Well, what about Wendy's? Hell yes, always Wendy's. I will always go to Wendy's. Why do you even ask?
Wendy's is the shit.
Just pull up to Wendy's and I will eat their food. I mean, there's no question. That's my favorite fast food hamburger. Or I don't know. Maybe you want to sit down for a meal somewhere? Mexican food place? I'm like, why are you even asking me? Just pull into the parking lot and say we're eating here. I don't get why you ask me these things. I will always go. Yes. Always. I am always ready to eat, and I will always go get food wherever you park to get food.
I'm pretty sure that the consistent curse between, because we're both married, and I deal with the same shit. I believe the consistent curse between married couples is trying to find out what's for dinner until you die. That's just what happens all the time. I very rarely am like insistent upon wanting a specific type of food.
If I want a specific type of food... Here's my thing. If I want a specific type of food, I go and get that food by myself or with like-minded people. So like one of my favorite places to go is Wiener Schnitzel, right? I love Wiener Schnitzel. Are their hot dogs good? No. Is their chili good? No. That's like saying that Jack in the Box hot dogs are Jack in the Box, sorry, tacos, not hot dogs. But Jack in the Box tacos are good. Jack in the Box tacos are not good tacos.
No.
Yet when I want them, I must have them.
Yeah. You're scratching an itch at that point. You're not like getting them because they're good.
It's like, it's not like I want to introduce you to the best tacos ever. We're going to Jack in the Box. No. It's like, dude, you need something greasy.
Yep. Hey, dude, are you drunk? Icy. Here, I got the perfect thing.
Yes. Have this.
Yes.
We talked about that even while we were, I think, on the drunk podcast last week. But Wiener Schnitzel, again, not the best hot dogs that you can get, not the best chili that you can get. You can get better or equal or better hot dogs and chili just by buying the stuff at the store. This is one of those situations where, like, sometimes if you pay a lot of money, you can get from the grocery store and make yourself a better hamburger, right?
Yeah.
Better this, better that, whatever. You can for sure easily get better hot dogs than what they make at Wiener Schnitzel at the store. But it's still, when you go to Wiener Schnitzel to get hot dogs and specifically to get chili dogs, they're just, they're Wiener Schnitzel chili dogs. They're their own thing. They're their own special flavor. You get better maybe, but you're not going to get them to taste exactly the same. And especially not like 5 for $5. Like, thank you, I will take that. They probably are more now because it's been about a year or two since I've been able to get there. But I don't take my wife to Wiener Schnitzel because she don't like hot dogs. She don't like corn dogs. She likes chili fries sometimes, but she don't like doing that. That's not her restaurant. I have a friend/family member that if I'm going to Wiener Schnitzel, I'm like, hey, you want to go? We're going to Wiener Schnitzel. And she all like, hell yeah, I'm going to Wiener Schnitzel. And we go to Wiener Schnitzel.
Nice.
We like the chili dogs. I don't go there with my wife because, again, she doesn't like it. And I'm perfectly okay with that. I don't go to Burger King with my wife. She doesn't like Burger King's burgers. And that's okay. That's perfectly fine.
That's fair.
If I feel that I need to get my Whopper on, I just go get Burger King by myself. Because that's not like it's dinner time and I'm like, peace out, people. I'm going to go get me some Burger King. It's like if I'm out and I'm doing something, right? And it's like, okay, it's time for me to have a meal, but I'm not at home to have a meal, right? I didn't have anything packed for a meal. Mm-hmm. And it's just me by myself. Today's my Burger King day. I'm going to go grab some Burger King. And plus, that makes it even better when I get home. It's like the wife asked me, did you eat out? Did you eat anywhere? Did you get any food anywhere? Yeah, I got some Burger King. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah. See, I cognizantly think of this.
All right.
Then, you know, I tell the wife, do the same thing. If there's a place I don't eat, which, by the way, the only places I don't eat are the places she don't eat. But it used to be, okay, if you want to get your Starbucks, because I hate Starbucks, and I'm not going to go to Starbucks. If you want to get your Starbucks, do it when I'm not there. So you don't have to feel like you're going to get a Starbucks and I'm mad because we're going to Starbucks. First of all, I'm not mad if we're going. I just may get just a regular coffee or nothing, depending on the time of day.
Right. But
that's the time to do it. When I'm not there, go get a Starbucks. Go have fun. I'm not going to be mad about that. I'm not going to be, where's mine? Because I don't care. Have it. Enjoy. But yes, pick a place to go to dinner. And by the way, I will say that when I was the person staying at home, dinner wasn't necessarily always an issue thing. Because I'd just basically make dinner or not, one of the two. And I would inform people what was happening. Okay. And tell them this is what I was making. And if people didn't want to have it, then they didn't have it. And there was often times where people didn't have it, but that's okay. If I was in charge of meal planning now, we would never make dinner. We would just be like, we would buy stuff for everybody basically to make their own crap and not make any real dinners. Because I'm tired of making real dinners. I'm tired of eating real dinners. But I'm kind of at that point in life. I need a year or so of not eating real dinners, going back to eating, you know, frozen food crap for a while. Mm-hmm. And then I'll crave real dinners again. But at this point, I'm like, I see like this beautiful plate of like roasted chicken and steamed vegetables and like a baked potato. And I'm like, I don't want that. I want a Hot Pocket now. I want a Hot Pocket and like three, not two, not four, but three mozzarella cheese sticks, like breaded cheese sticks, and like some pot stickers. That's what I want for dinner. That's what I want for dinner. Like
All
for
right.
breakfast today. For breakfast today, I had ramen and pot stickers. That's what I had for breakfast today.
Oh, God, that sounds good too. You still got me locked on the biscuits and gravy, but yeah.
Because that's just like, I'm tired of regular breakfast stuff. I'm tired of, you eat some of that stuff to have the regularity of it. And it's like, there are nights when I just want cereal for dinner. You get tired of eating just the same stuff over and over, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's nice to change it up. It's nice to have things for, again, breakfast for dinner, dinner for breakfast, except for all you people that eat cold pizza. Just screw you all. And that includes you. If you eat cold pizza, screw you. Pizza needs to be reheated, and it needs to be reheated either in the oven.
I'm back and forth.
No.
Why? Why? Explain it. Fine. Explain it. That's it. You're challenging me. I'm challenging you. Let's go.
You're losing out on the beauties of the flavor of pizza by eating it cold. Eating it cold, you lose all of the flavor that's in it.
How?
It doesn't taste How? I will explain to
you. I was going
to
say, that's like saying, like, you can't have a burger unless, like, you can't judge a burger unless you can judge it without all of the extra pieces. What if those, what if people like the type of lettuce and the type of tomato that's used on the burger and the condiments?
I understand having all the condiments and stuff added to accentuate the burger, but a really good burger should still taste good just by itself. Just bun, burger, more bun. That should still taste good just by itself. Then the other things add to the beauty of the flavor. But this is actual science here. The colder a food is, the less flavorful it is. Actual science.
Who said that?
Actual science. The colder food is. Here's something to think about. When you're eating ice cream, right?
Uh-huh.
When it melts, the flavor is a lot more intense, isn't it? There's a reason for this.
I've never thought about the flavor being more intense, but maybe it was because, I don't know. I never thought about it. It's possible.
Yeah.
Damn it. Now I have to try melted ice cream. What are you doing to me, man?
When food is cold, the flavors are less intense. The warmer it gets, the more intense the flavors get.
Would this have to do with the fact that the taste buds are less reactive because you're having cold food?
It may be a taste bud situation. It may just be the way that flavor is released from food. I don't know.
Interesting.
I just know that I've read. I will get the cited sources and get you the cited sources. But I've read the reports that food has less flavor when it's cold than when it's warm. So you're losing out on flavor with your pizza being cold. Secondly, you're losing out on the true texture of the most important pizza topping in existence. The single most important pizza topping.
And that is?
The cheese.
Okay.
You need to have some melt to the cheese to have the true enjoyment of pizza. The congealed mass of cheese that exists when your pizza is cold is not giving you the cheese experience that is necessary. Now, again, I'm not saying that you can't do this. If you want to eat your pizza cold, fine. I will be staring down my nose at you and being in judgment because I think it's stupid. I think you're wasting.
I honestly think that a good pizza will hold up cold. Like a really good pizza will hold up cold. And sometimes the types of flavors of pizza that you would, you know, you would not necessarily conventionally like might hit different when they're cold to a point that they are enjoyable. Like I have been in hangover mode with cold Hawaiian pizza, and it's different cold. And I hate Hawaiian pizza. I hate pineapple on my pizza. I think it's terrible tasting.
It is awful.
It is absolutely awful. It does hit a little different cold. It is. I don't know. Maybe it's because the flavor of the pineapple itself pineapple doesn't do well hot. That would make sense. Right,
that may make sense. Although there's a large group of people that would argue, say that pineapple is great hot. Those that like it on their pizza, those that like grilled pineapple. I don't even know where that's coming from, but people like grilled pineapple. They put it on hamburgers, man.
I've seen. Yeah, I mean, is pineapple like an active ingredient in teriyaki, or does it always just get paired with teriyaki shit? Like, I have no idea.
I think it gets paired with it, which that's another thing is you often find it in preparations of like sweet and sour chicken. You'll find pineapple in there. And I do like cooked pineapple in certain circumstances. I don't necessarily like it in the pizza circumstance. I don't think it's necessarily a full-on travesty for pizza, but you know, there is a large group of people that do.
Put some weird shit on their pizza.
I do have to put up with the fact that every weekend we get pizza, as we've detailed on the podcast multiple times. My wife and I get pizza, and every weekend, without fail, her pizza always has pineapples on it, which, by the way, is the reason we go to the pizza place that we go to, so that she can get her nasty pizza with pineapple on it, and I can get my pizza with no damn pineapple on the.
That's fair. I can agree. Hey, look, everybody's got their preference, and I'm not gonna necessarily judge for people. I just think it's a terrible idea. It's I have never found pineapple on pizza to be appealing, especially hot. Like I said, I'm not gonna renege on what I just said earlier. Like, I've had it cold because I was hungover and desperate and needed food, And maybe it was because I was hungover and desperate and needed food that it tasted different. I don't know.
There's a lot of factors. Were there no hot dogs and tortillas around?
Hey, you shut your fucking mouth. That shit is weird. I know it's weird, but for some reason, man, that is the craziest weird drunk food. I don't even know where it started. I still don't understand. I have a confession to make to those that listen to this. I have, and some people think it's not really that big of a deal. I don't know if I've said this before or not. It's a strange guilty pleasure of mine. I don't know how long ago it started. I don't even remember if I did it as a child. I can't remember where it started. But for some reason, I have this strange affinity for hot dogs wrapped in tortillas. It's a hot dog. It is technically a bread covering, similar to a regular hot dog, but the bread is denser. There's less mess that I tend to deal with.
I mean,
I used to microwave them. I hate microwaved hot dogs. Like, microwaved hot dogs are, the consistency is wrong. It doesn't work. I have experimented outside of standard hot dogs, and Polish sausages are fantastic. Italian sausage, like different sausages. For some reason, I am totally cool with wrapping a hot dog in a tortilla and eating it that way.
I have a couple of minor hacks to do the microwave hot dog.
Really? What's that?
Yeah. Well, first off, you can do it if you have any kind of bowl with a lid, a microwavable bowl with a lid that can microwave as well, that has kind of a venting on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just put it in there, put it in the bowl with some water, and you're basically boiling it in the microwave.
I could see that. Normally, I just boil water and I put the hot dogs in the water, or I will use a flat pan and I'll that way I kind of get a dry top, and I can also kind of slice the top and get the split.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To where it's almost like, top line hot dog cooking is grilling. If I have the opportunity to grill. But the thing is, if I'm grilling a hot dog, I'm barbecuing it, I'm not slapping a tortilla on it if I'm barbecuing a hot dog. On a bun, and it has to be a specific experience.
Why don't you throw the, I would say, why don't you throw the tortilla on the grill for a second and get some char on that, and then wrap the hot dog in it. That would actually work out pretty good.
To a degree, but the thing is, the tortilla won't wrap around the hot dog as easily. You got to either steam the tortillas or just warm. It's funny because you can warm the tortillas in the microwave and they still keep their, they keep their elasticity. But when you grill a tortilla, you dry it out. At that point, you would, I would honestly like route it to where it became a tortilla taco. Like a taco, like you could grill it that way to where it's got the taco shape and then throw a hot dog in that. But then at that point, it's just a hot dog taco. Which, technically speaking, a regular hot dog bun.
Hot dog, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of it's kind of a taco, sort of. This is worth experimenting with.
The other microwave hack for hot dogs: wrap it in a wet paper towel.
Wrapping a hot dog in a wet paper towel? Oh, you mean for microwaving? Yeah. Okay.
That's another way to.
That's interesting.
Make it so you don't get the split ends and you don't get the weird texture stuff on it.
Yeah,
it actually helps cook it. It kind of steams it a little bit. And that's how, by the way, when I make, like, when you're grilling, you typically don't make enough hot dogs to eat that day. They're leftovers. Whenever you're grilling, the way I always that's the way I heat up hot dog leftovers, is wrap them up in, regardless of how I've cooked them previously, wrap them up in a wet paper towel, and that's how I reheat them in the microwave.
Oh, that way it doesn't dry out. That's actually a really good idea. Yeah. I'm going to have to try that.
But
I'm doing so much, man. I'm firing up the grill today. Like, it's a nice day. I'm firing up the grill. We're going to, I might open with biscuits and gravy for the day after this podcast recording's over. This is the food podcast.
What you're saying is I should forego going to the movie I plan on afternoon and instead come to your house to eat grilled food.
That's a possibility. I'm going to have to arrange with the wife and see what we can do.
Nah, maybe we'll see. I'll have to arrange with mine. We both have to talk to our bosses.
We do have to talk to our bosses. They have to give it. You have to give us the green light on this, man.
Yeah. I'm sure both of us will hear something to the effect of, "What, you already talked to that person for 2 hours? You want them to come? You want to go hang out with them more, or you want them to come over and hang out more? Come on." Anyway, that does lead into kind of one of the things we were going to talk about at the last podcast, which was the new Ninja that James got.
Ah, yes.
I did, since we're on a bit of a food kick, I did get a new Ninja product. I don't know if I said exactly what it was, or if I said that I got another product. Anyway, whatever. I did get a new Ninja. I did get a new Ninja product. It is not, however, the Jeff Ninja, right? That's what I was going.
Yeah, we're going to call it the Jeff Ninja. That was not the same product that I had. Yeah, my it would basically be Carl's brother.
Yes, Carl's brother Jeff.
Yes.
Which again, remind everybody what Carl is.
Carl is a bandmate of mine.
No. The Ninja Carl.
Oh, the Ninja Carl. I'm so sorry.
Named
after a bandmate of mine.
Time out.
What?
The ninja appliance Carl, not the true Ninja Carl, which we know, Carl, you're also a ninja.
We can as tell. Well as yes.
Bandmate, you are totally a ninja.
Yep. Absolutely.
We can see that. You know how I know? You know how I know?
How?
Because I was watching this video on ninjas once, and I saw the ninja in his ninja outfit, and I could tell by the booty that it was Carl.
That's fantastic.
Because I've grabbed that booty before. So I know that's
like, I know that booty anywhere. You can't hide that booty behind a tree. That's impossible.
It was the whole DiCaprio pointing at the screen meme. It was like, yeah. I know that booty.
That one. Yes.
That booty, that's Carl. But anyway, yes, the Ninja appliance, Carl. What kind of a Ninja appliance is Carl?
Oh my goodness. Which, it is one of the Ninja toaster ovens. I can't remember what the model is, but basically it's like this multi-level toaster oven that has, It's a toaster oven air fryer. It's an air fryer in the shape of a toaster oven, I guess is the best way of putting it. Because you could put like so much stuff in there, and it is ridiculously convenient. It is ridiculously efficient as well.
What's the special thing it does? What's the special thing?
Oh my gosh, I'm getting a pop quiz on the thing well, it's not that I rarely use it. I use it all the time. We had frozen pizza with it last night.
It folds up.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so it's got a folding drawer, and it folds upward in a vertical position. So you could tuck it away on the counter and have way more counter space. It's so cool. Well, put a couple things around a bit.
Mike knows all about tucking it away. Anyway.
Excuse me?
Sorry, that joke was just there.
It was just there. I hate you.
I know you don't. But and yes, that was, we discussed before Christmas that was a possible Ninja addition to my kitchen to sit opposite on opposite counters from my Ninja coffee maker.
Yes.
This was a possible addition, but what it came down to was A, our air fryer works perfectly fine. B, I have Steve, who is my amazing long slice toaster.
Yes.
And the problem would be I do not for me to put the Ninja air fryer slash whatever in that position, I would have to get rid of my air fryer, which again works perfectly well, and I'd have to find a new home for Steve. And I do not wish to find a new home for Steve because A, I don't have a lot of counter space, and B, I love Steve. So I do.
Steve till his last breath before you consider another one of those.
Now,
another Steve, but something else that would be,
if the air fryer dies or if the sister-in-law moves out. And
I'm sorry, and you cut out. Or if the sister-in-law moves out and you said what?
I can give her our existing air fryer. Because she said she wants an air fryer whenever she moves out to her own place, because she loves having an air fryer and she doesn't want to live without one. I'm like, would you be willing to take our old one? She's like, yes, I would take the old one. We clean it up first. I'm like, oh hell yeah, I'll clean it up for you. No problem, you can take it. So if those things happen, we call that in my family pulling a Cheryl.
What, leaving and taking an air fryer?
No. Somebody leaving the house and you getting rid of something in your house so that you can go buy a new one, especially so you can convince the spouse to go buy a new one. Like, oh, I just gave this away. We need a new one. Can I get that one? We call it a Cheryl because about 20 years ago, I was basically kind of pushed out of my parents' house and given my parents' furniture, their gigantic couch and love seat, matching couch, love seat, and chair from like 1978. So,
Oh man.
I mean, it was great. It was great because it had a hide bed in it. It was also awful because it took five people to lift it, the couch.
I was going to say, wasn't that the couch that I know you had that couch when in the apartment, right? Yes. And that was like the big, like poofy, the one with all the leaf print on it.
Uh-huh. And yep. The big, huge wood on the back of it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
God, that thing was a bitch.
Oh, that and most comfortable couch possible, but dear Lord, trying to move that thing. We finally took it to the dump because we just couldn't move it anywhere. But basically,
I still see those things at like thrift stores. I can't believe they survived as long as they have. They're like 50 years old.
They're good freaking construction. That's why.
That's
that thing was strong. They don't make things as well as they did back then. They made that thing sturdy. It's like you want to have it fall out of the back of your truck while you're moving it. It's fine. It'll be fine.
It's got a little fully intact, hitting the road on Highway 80 at 55 miles an hour.
There's a little scuff on the side that'll, whatever. You can clean that up. Yeah. I mean, a semi ran into it. Yeah, semi's totaled. Couch is fine. seriously, those things were just massive. I hated moving that thing because it was so damn heavy, but it was so comfortable. But basically, my mother told me I had to move out and leave and take the furniture so that she could convince my dad to go and buy her all brand new furniture. And she did. She did. That's furniture
fantastic.
That furniture is still in my dad's house and is, by the way, falling apart at this point because it's 20 years old. So, because again, they don't make furniture. She got it because it's like, ooh, it's all these different, it's, brighter colors and it's got all these cool features and none of those features work anymore. And I bet you that, like you said, you can see couches from the 1970s that were the same style of couch as that one in a thrift store still working and still functioning because they were actually made of real wood instead of particle board garbage like the ones my parents got.
Yep.
But that's, so we call doing that, giving somebody something when they move out, so that you can trick the spouse into buying a new one. We call that in our family Cheryling things.
I like that. Cheryl. I like that.
So yes,
I like how it's in the guise of a parting gift as well. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, thanks for playing. You're moving on. Here, have a toaster or something.
Yes. Here, have this. Have this. so that's when that happens. When the air fryer goes, then yes. That'll be the time to do it. And then what I'll do is I'll take the mixer that got left with us. Somebody left with us when they moved out of state, they left with us what are those really good mixers? I can't remember the name. KitchenAid.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
KitchenAid mixer. Yeah. Really nice KitchenAid mixer, but like it's never used here. Like I use it at Thanksgiving for my mashed potatoes. That's about the only time it gets used. Because there's not enough baking that happens in the household for us to really... Baking is the one thing we don't do much of.
I feel like, you're kind of hitting on a point here. Because I feel like the KitchenAid mixer is something that kind of is in everyone's house. Because we've got one too. And it always tends to be one of the least used kitchen appliances. And I think half the reason is because it's such a bitch to clean up afterwards. Like you have to, the thing has to be like fully dismantled. So that you could take it, and it, also storing it sucks.
Oh yeah, they're just these giant things.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Most of the stuff that I would do for baking, because I mean, even if I'm like baking from scratch, most of that I'm probably going to do by hand anyway. I don't necessarily want to use a mixer because when I was growing up, the only thing they had was the stupid hand mixers.
Yeah,
and I hated using those damn things, so I'd just stir shit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, find the strongest wooden spoon in the house that wasn't going to break while you were stirring it and just stir things. When I make biscuits, since we talked about biscuits and gravy earlier, I use my hands. So, like, I don't see it. I personally, like I said, I only use it for the mashed potatoes and only because one of our actual listeners to the podcast who worked in food service suggested that I use the mixer for making mashed potatoes. You put the potatoes in there, you use the same attachment that you'd use to like whip up whipped cream.
Oh, huh.
And do the potatoes that way. Make sure you add in hot milk, never cold milk. Always hot milk, your butter, your salt, your pepper, whatever else you're putting in. But that's use the mixer and you'll get potatoes that aren't lumpy, but they're not fully whipped. And so it's fantastic. But then of course that's the only other time that the damn KitchenAid mixer is used is the same time. So at Thanksgiving I'm making the mashed potatoes and then I gotta pull the mashed potatoes out of that bowl, clean out that bowl and throw it in the freezer so that for pie afterwards the wife can make homemade whipped cream. because that's, again, the only other thing we use it for is to make whipped cream. So oh, it's man. Got a place, it's got a place on the counter in prime real estate currently, but it will be, if the case comes that the air fryer's no more, or either it dies or it goes, I will move Steve to where the KitchenAid is, move the KitchenAid elsewhere. And then that's where the, that's where Jeff, the new Ninja air fryer thingy will go. However,
yes,
we bought a different Ninja.
Oh.
And that's, it's not the Ninja Jeff. We bought a different Ninja. But the catch, of course, is I had a Ninja previously. Of course, I had my Ninja coffee maker, right? Mm-hmm. So that would mean I'd have two Ninjas in the kitchen, right?
Yes.
No. Still only have one Ninja in the kitchen.
Where's the other one?
I'll explain why when we come back from break.
Okay.
Hey, friends. This is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
And we're back, everybody.
Okay.
So, like I was saying, there's a new Ninja in my household. And it's not just me taking martial arts class. No, no, no. It's a new appliance.
By you don't way, have an was, assassin in the closet or anything like that?
No. I mean, we do, but not a ninja assassin in the closet.
Oh. Well.
It's another type of assassin.
What type?
I don't know.
A shogun assassin? I have no idea.
Why are you? So what? Like, the Japanese are the only ones that are allowed to have assassins?
Is that no? Racist, those maybe? Are the only those are the only two types of titles I could pull from, like, right off the top of my head at the moment.
I mean, seriously, gosh.
Hey, what problem do you have with Japanese cinema, sir? Shit,
I don't
is
have
art.
Any problems with Japanese cinema. I have the least problems with Japanese cinema. Japanese cinema inspired my favorite set of movies.
Yes, it did.
They wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for Japanese cinema.
Japanese cinema inspired actually a hell of a lot.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah,
but
man, that's a thing. That's I want to say that's a topic for another day, man. Like, you go deep into that.
Well, I mean, Japanese cinema, Japanese video gaming. I have somebody in the household that is a huge video gaming fanatic, specifically for one company's video games, and they just came out with a new game recently, and yeah, it's all I've been hearing about.
Oh, that's really?
Literally, I've heard nothing. The only things I have heard about in the last 2 or 3 weeks, as far as like video games are concerned, are about Elden Ring and Dark Souls.
Ah,
made by the same company, and how this game and that game and this game and that game are all derivative of Dark Souls, and Elden Ring is like the final accomplishment of all the best things of Dark Souls put together with all the best of other gaming, which all those are still based on Dark Souls. Yeah,
I got some. Yeah, it's about yeah. I know those guys are like based on just how, like, the newest one, Elden Ring, is just based on how ridiculous can they get. Like, the insane difficulty and the absolute unfairness of the game is the entertainment factor.
Well, and that's funny because he keeps like telling me, you should try this, you should try this. I'm like, dude, I play games on easy on purpose.
Yeah. There's a reason there is no easy. There is no easy. Yeah. However, I will say that there is a lot of people that have learned fighting timing just from playing the Souls games.
Oh, I'm sure. And I'm not discounting the fact that there are probably a lot of things that, not being big of a gamer and as knowledgeable as other people are, I'm sure there's a lot of things that those have inspired. But again, that's all I've heard about lately. But anyway.
But please continue. Moving on to your
If we were going to have an assassin in the closet, it would probably be Antonio Banderas, just because of the fact that I like his voice, and the wife thinks he's kind of cute. So
that's fair.
That's fair. That's a reference to the movie Assassins with Antonio Banderas and Sylvester Stallone. Movie. Not that old.
I would go down the line here, talking about how you like to keep Antonio Banderas in your closet, in your house.
Yeah.
Which is very, I mean.
He's a good looking guy. What?
Fair, yeah. Fair. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Except for the fact you want to keep somebody else, keep a human in your closet. That's just, it's a strange habit.
I mean.
does he have like.
he's got a TV and a little mini fridge. You know what I mean?
I was curious. I was like, does he sleep standing up? Is he like Bender from Futurama? Like his whole apartment
maybe,
is just like,
or maybe 2 foot by 2 foot.
Say what?
Maybe I have a big closet.
That's possible.
You don't know. Or maybe it's not even really Antonio Banderas. Maybe it's cardboard cut out of Antonio Banderas.
I mean, that is totally keep. You know what? You would, you would do that. You would absolutely do that. He'd be like, hey, could you grab a jacket out of the closet real quick? Oh, God. Like, just to have a cardboard cutout of Antonio Banderas. That is all. That would be there.
Great. So now what's going to happen is I'm going to have, just like the wife has recently been trying to find every avocado-related product humanly possible and bother me with it in stores.
Yes.
You got the picture I sent of the avocado cutting board.
I did see that.
She pointed that one out, and I'm like, here, take a picture so I can send it to Mike. She wanted me, there was another one that was a little container that had a green top to it that showed on the label for it the point of it was to put like a guacamole in it, but all it was a clear container with a green top, and I'm like, that's not avocado enough, because she wanted me to hold that too, and I was like, no,
you're like,
do the cutting board.
Yeah, like, there's a certain level of avocado-ness that has to be met.
Yeah,
it's a threshold.
Yeah, it has to be avocado.
Yeah.
And that wasn't just, I mean, so it's green. That's
come not on now. Avocado. Quality control.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But, see, now I lost my train of thought with the whole avocado thing. Oh, yeah. No,
we were talking about,
what's going to happen is people are going to try to find me. I hope people would. That'd be awesome if we have enough people listening that would try to find me. But if I tell, when I tell the wife about this, she's going to try to find me a cardboard cutout of Antonio Banderas. or again, Mike might at some point or another. To find me one. If he ever sees one, he's gonna be like, I'm getting that now. I'm like, yes. Dude, I have something for you.
Yes.
Yeah, no,
that's happening. I'm gonna try to see what I can do to sneak it into your house and put it into your closet without your knowledge.
That's great, because none of my clothes are in the closet, all the wife's clothes are in the closet, so that'll be fun. For her. But I'd say I'm good with it. I would totally, if somebody got me a some kind of a cutout of Antonio Banderas, I would put it somewhere in the house. I do have a cutout of Deadpool on the wall.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, I'm totally up for something like that. Nothing like that would be too untoward with me. But anyway, that would be the assassin in my closet. But back to the ninja in my kitchen.
Yes.
So what ended up happening was, I think we talked a little bit about this before, we ended up getting a new ninja coffee maker. Ninja coffee maker.
Ah, yes. But
this is different than the one that I had before. I had just a fairly standard ninja coffee maker before. This is a specialty maker, because not only does it make regular ground coffee, but it's got a piece that fits in to make coffee pods.
Oh, that's cool. So you can make your own coffee pods with it.
Yeah, well, you can not make your own coffee pods, but use like the K-cup pods that are used for like Keurig machines.
Yeah.
You could use those pods to go with it. And one of the things that is interesting with the Keurig pods is there's a lot more flavor variety in the K-cup pods.
Yeah.
Than what you find in most of your bean, whole bean, or even ground coffees. There's so many different flavor variety options.
Boy.
And there is a little bit of a convenience to it.
Boy, James taking it all the way back to 2012.
Yes. Well, this is something that that the wife had been missing, having a Keurig machine. She had wanted it. She'd used it a little bit. I'd used it a little bit, but then she stopped using it and it just became a brick on the countertop, which is why it eventually got phased out of our kitchen. We got rid of the Keurig that we had years ago. And you're right, about 2012 was when she had a Keurig and she was really big on them. We kept, our coffee pot kept updating, it was me that kept updating the coffee pot because I was the one that was drinking coffee every day. And she would try to make iced coffee out of it because she likes iced coffee. Because again, when it's colder, there's less flavor. and she could deal with that better. She's an iced coffee person. She likes her Starbucks. So that's more the iced coffee thing, right?
Right.
So she'd been looking at a bunch of cold coffee machines, something that could do the cold coffee, which my Ninja could make specialty coffees or brew over ice options, right?
Yes.
But that was doing most of what she wanted it to do, but not quite what she wanted it to do. Then she was looking at maybe getting a Keurig, because very rarely she likes hot coffee, but she thought maybe she could do cold coffees with some of the Keurigs, because there are some of the Keurig machines that have a cold brew option. And then I found this machine.
Uh-huh. And
this machine, it's a Ninja. So that made me happy already, because when I found my last Ninja coffee maker, I was like, this is the best coffee maker I've ever dealt with. I can make specialty drinks so that I can have, because I got one of those, one of the milk frothers that's the hand milk frother.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like this little jar with the little wire thingy in it, and you just put the steam milk in there and push the wire thingy up and down, and it kind of froths up the milk for you. Mm-hmm. Right. So I bought one of those, and my Ninja could do specialty, the specialty brew. So if you put like espresso in there, it's not like truly making espresso where it's all tightly packed and the super high pressures and whatnot, but it kind of gave a faux version of that. And it was close enough for me to be okay without having to have a real like cappuccino machine. Because quite frankly, that's just a huge expense and a pain in the butt, and they're really loud. And yes, it makes the cappuccinos great, fantastic, but like it's a lot more work than just regular coffee. And again, my space is limited. So this halfway did it, right? It did it well enough.
Yeah.
So I could have a cappuccino when I wanted to. I could have a latte when I wanted to. There are differences between the two, folks. but you know, I could enjoy those when I felt like enjoying those, but it wasn't something that a machine isn't designed specifically to do that all the time, but it could do that. It has the option. But again, she was looking for all these other possible options. This one machine though, found this beautiful Ninja. It does the pods, and it's really cool, 'cause it's got this piece that fits in that you put the pods into, and then you can pop the piece out, and that piece that the pods go into is where the coffee filter normally goes in and your coffee normally goes in. So you just slide basically a top, you know, out from it's like in a little cubby, the top of it, it slides out and covers it when you're doing the regular coffee. So it's a fantastic design where it's just got a modular piece that moves in and out for the pods to be used. You don't have to change
anything else over.
Very, very simple to use. Simple water reservoir that can be either on the side or the back of the machine.
Whoa, it's an interchangeable reservoir?
Yeah, it can be on the side or the back.
Whoa, so that's kind of cool.
If you have enough rooms on the side for it to be on the side so that you can fill it on the side, perfect. If you are limited in space so it needs to go on the back, because let's say maybe you're limited in width space because of all the things packed on your countertop, but you have depth enough to deal with it, you can put it on the back. It's designed to sit in either space. So really, really nice setup for that. And then the kicker, it makes the pods in multiple sizes. It has a classic brew, a rich brew, a over ice brew, and then a specialty brew where you can actually buy the pods that are espresso pods and have it do the specialty brew where it'll only brew 4 ounces, but it'll brew it hotter and not release it immediately.
Oh. Wow.
So it'll get hotter and a little thicker. Yeah, to give you closer to that kind of espresso brew that you would get when you're actually making espresso. Because you know, you worked at one point as a barista.
Yeah.
The thickness of espresso as compared to any other drip coffee, it's a whole different thing. It's so much thicker and more viscous because of the amount of how tight you pack the coffee grounds in and the amount of pressure and heat pushing that water through there.
Yep.
It extracts more of the stuff out of there. And it's a much thicker liquid. And that's what adds to the richness of a cappuccino or a latte, is that extra thickness of that coffee.
That is correct.
See, You're like, did you work as a barista? No, I just love my coffee. I really do. And so that's the thing, is these other machines, they will do faux versions of it. And most of your, by the way, most of your at-home cappuccino machines, that list themselves as cappuccino machines and say they're going to get all the pressure and all this and all that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, those are basically faux versions of what an actual cappuccino machine will get you for.
Industrial cappuccino machine is like the only way to really go about it.
Yeah.
Like, some people will have them like at home, but you're right. There are homemade ones, but I mean, the budget stuff will not do what you're talking about.
No, it will not give you that richness of,
nope.
It won't give you it to be so rich that you can literally just sip the espresso and it's such a thick, beautiful, glorious drink. The only thing I compare it to is like the consistency of a good hot chocolate. And
that's fair.
And not like water hot chocolate, like whole milk hot chocolate.
Yeah.
That's been made on a stovetop with real pieces of chocolate in it. Melted
down. Yeah, where
down,
you shave the powder. Chocolate into the milk. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking real hot chocolate. You have that consistency in a real true espresso brew that you just can't get on any homemade machine. So anything you're doing is a certain level of faux, but it's the level that you're accepting of. And this new Ninja offers that specialty brew where not only with your regular coffee, because it'll do it with your regular coffee, but it'll do it with the pods as well. And you can buy espresso pods. And let me tell you something. I haven't got the espresso pods yet, but the idea that I could do that from a pod and not have to worry about having a whole separate container of espresso beans and whether I'm going to use those in enough time or not, that's kind of an intriguing thing, and I can't wait to use that. But if you have that kind of a specialty drink capability, you should package the machine with one other item, shouldn't you? One would think that you'd package it with some kind of a frother.
Yes.
And it has a frother attached to the side.
This thing's ridiculous. Like, are there any other extra features on this thing? You've got a ton going on with it. Like, we picked up a Ninja coffee maker, and we are on our second Ninja coffee maker now. The other one had died, but the one that we had a lot of extra features that we ended up not really using very much. Mm-hmm. And so we went back to, like, the basics, because Ninja makes an incredible coffee maker, especially their base model. Like, their base model is like all the money goes into the quality of the parts, and we haven't had a single problem with the coffee maker that we're using now. And the other one had like the single cup brew possibility and all that kind of stuff too, but it did not have like the extra features like you're talking. It didn't have espresso. No. It didn't have a Keurig equivalent. Well, it didn't have any of these other things.
What was your pot size on the one that you had? Were you able to do full size pots, or were they?
You could do full size. You could do 12 cups.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do 12 cups. You can do 12 cups of the one that we have now.
The one that I had was only like a 6-cup pot. That was the design I had before. I was only a 6-cup pot.
Yeah.
I will get to the final feature on this. Or the final pieces of features on this. The frother is just a vibration frother. So it's got a thing that vibrates to froth it up. It's not using the steam to froth it. It's not using, you're not sticking a steam thing in there and steaming the milk that way. So you have to heat your milk up first, and then you can get it frothed up.
Gotcha.
But still, having a frother attached, I was able to put my little jar frother away and not have to worry about that. I have a frother attached. It's fantastic. I can just heat my milk up, almond milk for me at this point, but still it froths up just fine. Heat up my almond milk, get it frothed up, put my specialty in there. Beautiful, fantastic. It does have the, like with, I'm sure the ones that you've had where it does the single cup, it has the flip down thing where you can set the cup on so the cup's not sitting on the hot plate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got that. But then it's got the hot plate because it will do a full 12 cup. And it will do that full 12 cup as either classic brew, rich brew, over ice brew. Won't do it as the specialty because that's too big for the specialty. But it goes all the way from 4 ounces at like 2 ounce increments. At 4 ounce increments. All the way up to the full size 12 cup coffee pot.
Damn, that's actually really, really useful.
Yeah, it's exceptionally useful because you can basically do whatever size travel cup that you have. It tells you how many ounces each brew is going to make. It's not like you have to guess, oh, okay, is that the right size? Is that the right? No, it's full digital face for the whole thing. So you just a dial on the front where you just turn it and it will, as it's going through, it tells you on the face of the dial what your ounce amount is. So they do have pictures of the different cup sizes but you're just turning through. It tells you how many ounces you want. Those ounces, you push the button that's the face of the dial, and it starts the brew.
Wow.
It also, of course, like the other ninjas, has the ability for you to slide a little thing and stop the brewing process if you want to pull it out, add something to it, you know, whatever. If you have the pot and you want to get a cup out of there, you can slide and stop the brewing process. If you want your coffee to sit in there a little bit longer before it comes out, you can do that as well. But slide, you know, it's got basically all the features you expect out of a ninja. And I'm going to tell you right now. Oh, huh. Wait, there's one more. I forgot there's one more feature.
Good Lord, dude.
One more feature. It's got a little dial on the side. The dial on the side has a bean on it and then like a water droplet on it.
Oh, so okay? You just use straight hot water?
You can if you turn it to the water droplet, you can put something, you can put your cup underneath there, same spot that you put it for everything else.
Uh-huh.
Straight hot water comes out. But it comes out through a different line than what feeds into the filter area.
Oh.
So you have zero coffee flavor in this water line. It's just hot water coming into it. So if you are a tea aficionado.
Yeah.
Who
you
likes
don't want
to
no coffee
tea,
in your tea.
Which is one of the things I used to have to, when I would have a cup of coffee and then I'd want to have a cup of tea afterwards.
Yeah.
On my old Ninja. I would have to make sure I had my cup of tea before, because I drink just normal flavored coffee. I can just do a quick rinse out of the filter area. But if the wife made her iced coffee, she always has some kind of flavored coffee. And I'm telling you right now, caramel vanilla black tea is not something that you want unless you actually do want that. If what you want is black tea and you make it in a coffee pot that has had caramel vanilla coffee made in it, your tea is going to taste like caramel and vanilla. And I'm not a person who wants my tea to taste like that. I want
right.
Black tea. I just want a normal cup of hot tea. You can't get that in a coffee pot when somebody has put
right.
various flavors of coffee in it. And so right. I'd have to pull out where the filter basket and scrub it down with soap two or three
good
times
gravy.
to get the caramel vanilla flavor. Cause I don't mind having a little extra caramel vanilla flavor in my coffee. It's like, oh, this coffee tastes a little sweeter than normal. All right, whatever. That's not as big a deal with my coffee, but with my tea, I had been doing the ultimate sin because I didn't want to buy another appliance for it. I had been doing the ultimate sin, and I had actually been making my tea in the microwave, which if any British person listens to this, they'd be like, how could you never come to our country? Because that's literally the ultimate sin for making tea is making it in the microwave. You don't make tea in the microwave. It's a very American thing to do, but you just don't do it. And to have that extra feature is just brilliant.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Completely and utterly brilliant. But then, of course, I ended up finding Celestial Seasonings brand black tea in pod form, which is what I am drinking right now as
oh, wow.
we're doing the podcast. I'm drinking a pod version of Celestial Seasonings black tea.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, neither did I until I saw it. And I'm like,
that's pretty awesome.
I can do a tea with a pod. I like this.
That's fantastic.
So yes, this
I'm
is
I'm still the, drinking the coffee the new, that I had that I made this morning. So
I already had my one cup of coffee for the morning.
Oh, dude, I'm but always a minimum of two.
That well, but does the wife drink? Your wife drinks coffee with you though, doesn't
yes.
she?
Yes, yes, she does.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is you can easily make a pot when you're going to drink two, and she may have a couple. That's easy to do. I can't. I having the one cup availability is actually a good thing for me. That's like a big selling feature for me. It's nice that I can make a full pot. It just means that if I do have the relatives that come to visit that do drink coffee, I will just have to be able to be up in enough time to make a pot of coffee for them, because we do have a rule in the house. The only people that are allowed to touch the new Ninja are the same people that were allowed to touch the old Ninja, which is me and the
Fair.
Wife. Nobody else can touch the Ninja. Nobody. So when the sister-in-law's boyfriend Zach, when he decided he was going to want to start drinking coffee, because he's got to leave to go to work at like 5:30 in the morning, because his life sucks to have to leave that early. But he's okay.
Fair.
So he's like, I'm going to start drinking coffee. we grabbed one of our old, he only wanted just enough for him to have for the morning. So we grabbed one of our old, like 5-6 cup, little tiny coffee pots, little tiny drip pots.
Mm-hmm.
We grabbed one of those and made some space on the counter for him. Like, here, you can use this. It's free. You know, it's just been sitting. I cleaned it up for him. I'm like, here you go. You can use this. Cause you can't use that one. Cause nobody's allowed to touch that one. And he was just like, all right, cool. He's gotten used to the weirdness of me and my no touchy rules. But yeah, that's the new ninja. So the big question is, what do we name this ninja? That's the big question. What do we name?
Man, that is a good question. I feel like a plain name like Bob doesn't quite work. You know what I mean? Like, Bob was kind of the default name for appliances for a long time, it seemed like.
Bob is kind of my go-to for most things. But yeah, I think that's maybe it's a cool
thing. Yeah, no, this thing has way too many features, way too many. It's got too much going on.
I know what we need to call it.
What?
Well, it's obvious. It has to be Antonio.
Dude, I'm for it.
I mean,
it's Antonio,
right?
Yeah,
it has to be Antonio.
I cannot believe it. Did you mean to segue your way into that, or was this just by chance?
This is just this was literally one of those moments where it was just, we already answered this question.
Yeah, we have
this question by just sheer accident of me trying to be funny and glib and make a reference to the movie Assassins because the word assassin was used. Like, I want to make a funny movie reference. Ha ha ha. Look at me. I'm so smart. I know about movies.
Oh my God.
And then like now it's like, oh, hey, that.
Yeah. Why didn't we put perfect. This? I'm wondering how many people were yelling, like if they've listened to this all the way through and have gotten to this point where we had this strange amount of silence, this awkward silence about how are we going to name it? How many people were yelling, dude, name it Antonio. You've been talking about the guy for like, about him for like 5 minutes.
Seriously not planned.
Yeah.
I love to admit when I've planned things out like that.
Yeah.
Cause I've had moments where like I've gone through a conversation with somebody and led them up to a specific thing and make them think it's completely their own idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea, but I've led them to this idea and then later told them that, yeah, I led you there.
Ninja Antonio.
It's to the point now with my wife and even her grandmother, we'll have those conversations and they'll get almost to the point of getting to the answer that I've been trying to get them to. And they'll just look at me like, you already know what's supposed to happen. You already know what I'm going to say. Yes, I do. Again, I have all these conversations in my head. And I know your part already. I already know you're part of the conversation. So just tell me and don't make me go through it. No, the process is important. You need to go through the process.
Hey,
Well, and then afterwards, I can show you all the moments where I was brilliant getting you towards that process.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can feel really good about myself. Seriously, you have an ego that big? Yes. It's not about. It's only about those type of things, honestly.
Yeah,
honestly, I don't care that I don't care that I'm the weird guy that wears knee high socks and Crocs and drives a Mini Cooper. That's all right. I have whatever judgment you want for me on that. I mean, I don't have a man bun, but that's just because I'm not too keen on having the long hair anymore. Whenever I do, people tell me I look like fat Jesus, so I'm not okay with that. But anyway, you remember that, huh?
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, I do. Yep.
Yeah, you're one of those people.
Yep.
So
sorry,
we didn't.
I was just telling you the truth.
I recently asked somebody. Somebody made a comment about age and stuff, and I things being better in a certain time and maybe I wouldn't understand it. And I'm like asking them, how old do you think I am? And they were afraid to answer that question. I'm like, listen, all right, when I meet a friend of a friend, like if I'm hanging out with my friend, I didn't use any names, but like in this situation, I'll use a name. when I'm hanging out with my friend, Mike, and I meet another friend of my friend Mike's, somebody that I haven't met before, I will introduce myself as Mike's fat friend. So I have no illusions about myself. I have no illusions about how I look, about the fact that, like, literally you could probably look at me and think that how is that man 41 years old? He dresses like a flipping clown. He is wearing rubber shoes with little things in them. He's wearing socks that have what are those? Hufflepuff house crest on it. Okay. Shorts.
My Lord.
A Harry Potter shirt, and he's carrying a purse. And he just got out of a Mini Cooper. I get who I am, and I'm totally okay with it. I have no issues about it whatsoever. So yeah, no, to be honest about it, if you say I look like Fat Jesus, I probably look like Fat Jesus. And I have to decide, do I want to look like Fat Jesus? I mean, if I do, I better get down to the street and pretend to be Fat Jesus and try to make some money off it. But if I don't want to be that, then I need to, you know, recalibrate, you know, what I'm looking like. You know, but again, as you've learned from a good friend of yours, a guy that's in his 40s and he's walking around wearing Crocs and not seeming to have any issue with doing so, you better think twice about messing with that dude, because he's a guy, he don't give a shit anymore. He just doesn't. Especially if he's walking around with Crocs with gibbets in them. He doesn't give a shit anymore. Yeah, he doesn't care what you say about him. He doesn't care. You're not going to insult that dude.
At that point, it's impossible.
And you need to be afraid. You don't know what he might do if backed into a corner. Because again, he don't care.
He will throw one of those gibbets. He has an arsenal of gibbets at his feet. He will throw them at you.
God knows what else. I'm just thinking of like the Hispanic aunt or whatever female relative with the flip flop beating the crap out of somebody.
Oh, the chancla.
Seriously,
you're talking about the chancla.
I will. I didn't want to try to pronounce that because I don't do well with when it comes to any kind of foreign language inspired words. I butchered them awfully. But I'm serious. I will pull off one of my Crocs and I will beat you with it. I will. It will happen.
I could see that happening.
And if I lose a gibbet in the process, it's going to hurt you even more. But anyway, so yeah, I'm sorry that as usual I dominated the conversation. We didn't get to talk about the talking dog again.
That is okay. We will eventually talk about the talking dog.
We have to talk about the talking dog.
It is an eventual conversation.
We will eventually talk about the new dog in my household.
Yes.
My wife is learning again what it's like to have a puppy.
A new puppy? Uh-huh. Oh. How's that going?
The puppy might become a victim of the croc at one point or another, since it's decided that it occasionally likes to try to chew on the crocs.
You need to keep the crocs away from the puppy, man.
No, the puppy needs to learn to stay away from the crocs.
Okay, that's fair.
He will. He will. I use non-invasive procedures at this point in time.
Good.
So, you know, I'm a big promoter of other forms of teaching discipline other than, when it comes to kids or pets, physical discipline doesn't always work. You have to have other forms of discipline.
If the ideas of physical discipline on a pet are very common, and I will advocate for this like to the ends of the earth, they are the wrong idea. If you're thinking about doing anything as far as physical discipline to a dog, you are doing it wrong. You are absolutely doing it wrong.
No smacky the dog, no rubbing its nose.
Nope. If you're doing anything like that, you're literally causing the reverse of what the situation is and causing major psychological trauma in the process.
Yeah,
definitely.
But anyway,
to be made when we're talking about the other stuff, I think. Yes.
But we'll have the puppy conversation, the talking dog conversation. And then I will say Mike does have a conversation coming up about a new piece of equipment that he got.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm super excited. I have mentioned it on the podcast before, but I will talk about it in more detail then. I do want to make pictures. The boomer tech that now sits in my room shall be utilized to its fullest potential. And I'm very happy about it. But there's one thing that I wanted to bring up. I feel like we're starting to wind up, and I wanted to bring something up before we wind up. So we are recording this on Saturday morning, the 26th. Is that correct? It's 26th today?
Yes, sir.
It's March 26th. So this is going to be coming out on the 28th. I wanted to say something because this was a really, really, really big deal for me. Everyone I know right now has the wind knocked out of them because a very, very major, major musical celebrity has passed away unexpectedly and extremely tragically. At 50 years old, Taylor Hawkins, it was reported, had died last night, like just before the Foo Fighters were to go on a show. He was the drummer for the Foo Fighters. He was 50 years old. And as far as music is related, he was basically Dave Grohl's, he was basically blood to that guy. But essentially,
they still haven't released any information as to cause, right?
No, they have not released anything about cause. So we really have no details, but the entire music world right now is just, they're winded. They're devastated. Everybody's taken a gut punch because it was out of left field. It was completely unexpected. This is something to the degree of, to me personally, this feels like John Bonham or Tom Petty or Cliff Burton to me. Like, this is that big. People that have known and have admired this guy to be as great a musician and as great a person in general. This guy's a legend. He is a legend, and he will forever now be a legend. And one that went too young. So this is a big deal. But essentially, what I'm trying to get at is, like, my condolences to the Foo Fighters family, to Taylor's wife and kids, to his family, and everything else. Like, I am super, super winded, and this is something that I consider extremely important, and I cannot even fathom the amount of grief that's going through the Foo Fighters family and everybody that's attached to them right now. It is a huge loss. And these guys have been hard at work. They literally released an album yesterday. Another one that was a album based on a horror movie that they just recorded. They just released like less than a month ago, I think. Like, they have been on a major production. They're just cranking out stuff, and it's all good. And it's always been positive. It's always been good. Essentially, it's always been like good, clean musician fun, man. Like, this is just, it's crazy. Well, no,
to add, even me, who's not as into the music scene as you are, this is a guy that was a very respected musician, like you said.
Yeah.
The fact that he was the drummer for a band that was famous for their first album, the lead singer playing all the parts and not trusting anybody, including and especially the drummer, to play any of the parts, because he was considered one of the best drummers around. Dave Grohl's played drums for other people. Obviously, of course, got his start with Nirvana as far as fame goes.
I was going to say, yeah, he got his big break with Nirvana, but that guy, dude, I'll have to show you some punk bands he played in.
Oh, no, he was playing drums.
So good.
He was playing drums for the longest time. You mentioned Bonham as being, that was one of, I know, Dave Grohl's biggest influences and kind of idols as he was growing up.
Yeah.
He has similar tattoos to you, if I'm correct. That was one of his first tattoos.
Oh, really?
He's got John Bonham's Zeppelin symbol.
Beautiful.
Whichever one is his symbol from that.
Yeah.
That's the power symbol.
Or is that the Celtic? I think it's the Celtic symbol for power that he has.
Yeah, that was Dave Grohl's first tattoo.
Oh, that he man. Got. That's
because,
great.
Because he liked Bonham that much. Again, you've seen so much about just the Foo Fighters in general being one of those bands that's very friendly to the fans, very friendly to the other musicians. There's Taylor Hawkins with that one young girl who was playing the drums.
Nandi Bushnell?
Everlong. Having her, supporting her, coming up and playing on stage with them, and just you know, amazing people as far as the band goes, and to have that loss, as you say, you have no idea what they're feeling. I do have an idea what they're feeling, only because I can say I've lost as close a friend recently as what I'm sure he was to Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
But I even look back to the days when he was the when Taylor Hawkins was touring drummer for Alanis Morissette.
Yes.
I mean, just an amazing human being, amazing drummer. And again, a sad loss for the world at large, but as is any loss that any of us suffer, they're all bad losses.
Yeah.
But yeah, sad, very sad to hear about it. Very, very fresh still, and hoping the best for, his family and for the Foo Fighters. And gosh, heck of a person to replace. I guess they bring the little girl in. She can replace.
Oh, him. Man. Oh, that's, she's, yeah. I mean, yeah, why not? She's
or just have,
freaking incredible drummer.
Just have other people. I mean, I've seen outpourings from, there's at least two drummers that I have, that I follow on Facebook. Can you guess which two I follow on Facebook?
Let's see. Danny Carey is going to be at least one.
No, I don't, interestingly enough.
You don't follow Danny Carey?
I follow Tool. I don't follow Danny Carey.
Oh, wow. I am actually kind of, who do you follow? Lars Ulrich?
Of course, because, you know,
yeah.
Metallica.
And I don't know who the other one would be. Matt Cameron?
No.
Who's the other one?
Portnoy.
You follow Portnoy? Oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah. Yes. Dude, he is such a positive influence. Yeah.
He's been in so many different bands. He's involved in things. Again, like you say, a very positive, very upbeat guy. A decent all-around human being. Plus the fact that he played on one of my favorite Avenged Sevenfold albums, and I got to see him play with them live in concert, which was awesome. It sucked because we didn't get to see the Rev because he had passed, but at least we did get to see him with Mike Portnoy. Speaking of which, you were there, right? You were at that show.
Yes. And were we at both? We were at the, which one was odd? Which Ozfest were we at? 01 or 02 that we were at?
Oh, God. I don't know.
There
remember.
Was one where we did. Didn't we see Avenged Sevenfold like during that? No, that wasn't them?
No.
Because I was like, I thought it was like fresh off of like, I'd seen them during the City of Evil tour at an Ozfest that they played, and then I also saw them with Portnoy at the Rev Pass.
City of that would have been, that wouldn't have been the Ozfest that you and I, if you and I went to an Ozfest, that was way back ago. But anyway,
I had gone to more than one Ozfest, so I may have seen them at one point. I'm gonna have to go back through and double check which tour I had seen them with, but I could have swore I saw them twice,
because I didn't see them at City of Evil. I saw them for the night. That's the one we were at.
You only saw the Nightmare one? Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I follow Portnoy, and Portnoy and Lars Ulrich both had posted major things with, you know, this morning, last night and this morning, with discussions about him. So again, he is very, very well loved in the music community.
Yes.
And a great loss to the music community.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Mike.
Yes.
Where would people be listening to James talk about his obsession with Antonio Banderas and Mike showing respect for Taylor Hawkins?
Yeah, well, you could be checking us out on our website, thezenialchronicles.com or zenchron.com. If you don't want to type that much, totally check it out there. You can also check us out on most major podcast platforms. Ones of name to go to that I know that we're there at is, let's see, Google Podcasts and TuneIn and there's a third one, Spotify. There's Spotify as well. You can also check us out actually on our YouTube channel as well. You could very well be listening to this in video form there if you are. And if you happen to be doing that, or even if you don't, go search for the Zaniel Chronicles on any one of those platforms that I just mentioned. If you're listening to us in video format, make sure that you click the like button on the video and make sure that you subscribe as well, because we want to get some more subs on our YouTube page. And there's also something else to do on that page as well while you're there. What is that, James?
Click the bell.
That's right. Click the bell to make sure that you get notified the next time we have another video on YouTube out, be it in podcast form or otherwise.
And while you're there, while you're doing the subscribing, which again, we very much want you to do. Even if you're hearing this again on the podcast sites, go to YouTube, go subscribe.
Yes.
And you click in the bell. Please check out Mike's other two pages. I don't have any other ones because, I'm lazy in comparison, but,
I do check too out much, Mike's. Man. I do too much.
I can agree that sometimes happens with you. there's also the difference that, I have pets and children. You have pets. So you do have the ability to do a little more much than me. I'm just too damn tired. But anyway, Mike does have two other pages. One he does with his wife, Chronosode Games. This is Mike and his wife playing video games in chronological order of the story of the video games, not in order of when they come out. But in truth, it's just Mike being bad at video games and his wife being better. And Mike has another page, Ruling Note Music.
Yes.
This is Mike talking about music stuff, stories about songs, albums, gear information. Basically, if you're a fan of music, that may be the place to go. Regardless, check both of those out. Like, subscribe, keep it all in the family. Thank you all for listening this week. Sorry we weren't drunk this time. Maybe that's better. I don't know. And we will be back again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.